اسمه كان هيثم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. Ya Allah, we ask you for your love, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you for the love of those actions that will gain your love. And Ya Allah, we ask you for the love of those people that you love, Ya Allah. And most of all, Ya Allah, we ask you to give us the love of your Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we've been studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he interacted with his community, how his community loved him, how the ummah loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. In the Hajjatul Wida, the Hajj right before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he gave indications that this would be his last Hajj. He told Mu'adh bin Jabal when he was leaving, he said that I'm sending you off to Yemen, but when you come back, you might not find me here. You might just find my masjid in my grave, I might not be here. And that broke his heart. That broke Muaz's heart, because Muaz could not imagine life without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of the Sahaba could imagine going on, because he was everything for them. He taught them everything. He gave their life new purpose. And they had been living literally in his light by him being present. And what's so amazing is that the hadith, as we said, anyone who interacted with him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they felt that he loved them the most. So everyone in Medina, everyone who interacted with them, they felt that he loved them the most. It was a Wednesday morning, and the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got up early in the morning, and he asked Abu Muwayhaba, he was a servant of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, come with me, we have to go to Baqiyah, which is the graveyard right near his house. So he said to him, come on, we have to go and make dua. It's the middle of the night. And so he says to Abu Muwayhaba, he says, I've been ordered, I have to make dua for the people of Baqiyah. So they go over to the graveyard. It's right near the Prophet ﷺ's house. And when he comes to the graveyard, he says, Assalamu alaikum ya ahl al-muqabir. Assalamu alaikum to the people of the graveyard. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he makes dua for them. And then he speaks, he says, there's so many fitnas coming, there's so many hardships coming one after the next. And then he turned to Abu Muwayhab, who was with him. It's just them two, only them two, in the middle of the night at this graveyard. And he turns to them and he says, I have been given the keys to the treasures of this world, and I could stay longer and then go to Jannah. And I was told I could have that, or I could meet Allah and have Jannah now. So Abu Muwayhab, he realizes how serious this is. So he looks at Rasulullah and he says, choose to stay. Take the dunya, take it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, la wallah, ya Abu Muwayhab. Laqad akhtartu liqa'a Rabbi. He's like, I chose, I have to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they come back to the house. Later on that day, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, it was her day, it was the day he was with her, later on in that day. And Aisha says that the Prophet ﷺ, he came back from the graveyard. And she must have been up, it was early morning or late night. And she says that I said to the Prophet ﷺ, my head hurts. Ana ajidu suda'a ra'si. If you know anything about in a relationship, husband and wife are always competing who got the worst headache. It don't stop. And she goes, I got a bad headache. And he says, he says it first, Afwan. Ana ajidu sura'a ra'si. Wa ana aqulu wa ra'saf. Rasul ﷺ, he says to her, bal ana ya Aisha. He goes, no, my head hurts a lot more than yours. And he says to her, jokingly, we're only 12 days before he passes away. And he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, he says, what does it matter? He says, if you pass away, I'm here for you. I'll wash you. I'll put your kafan on. I'll pray salat to janazah for you. And I'll be the one that buries you. And she says, She goes, yeah. And then you're going to go to your other wife's house after that. Fatabassama. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he smiles. Like, look at the beauty. Look at the beauty. What can I say to that? He smiles at her and he says, فَتَبَسَّمَ ثُمَّ بُدِيَ وَجْعِهِ. And then his sickness increased more and more. For the next few days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to go and visit each of his wives every day. He would go there. But his sickness was getting worse and worse and worse. And so every day he would be saying, Aina ana ghadan? Where am I at tomorrow? Where am I at tomorrow? He couldn't remember and he couldn't quite collect himself. And finally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was at the house of Maymuna binti Haritha. It's her day, he's with her, and his sickness just gets a lot worse. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathers the Azwaj Mutahara, our mothers, and he asks them, he says to them, I can't move. It's hard for me to move. Do you mind if I just stay in the house of Aisha, is it okay? And all of them, they said, yes, of course, go. So he can't move. So Abbas and Ali come and they pick him up. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by now his headache had got so bad that by now he had taken a bandana and he had wrapped it around his head and he made it tight, trying to like relieve the pressure or take away from the pain. And so Abbas and Ali, they pick him up. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's hanging in between them. And وَرِجَلَاهُ تَخَطَّانِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And his feet are kind of just dragging on the floor. And he goes back to Aisha's house, radiallahu ta'ala anha. 5 days before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away, his fever was really intense. And he was still going to the prayer as much as he could. He would not stop going to the prayer. He was leading the prayer as much as he could. And it's 5 days, so it's about Thursday. He passes away on Monday. So it's Thursday, roughly around Thursday. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's in the middle of the day. He's ready to go out and he wants to lead the prayer and talk to everyone. And so he tries to get up and he falls and he collapses. His fever is very high and he's unconscious. He falls out. He wakes up and he says, please bring some water. They would bring well water that was really cool and cold, and they would pour it into this big bathtub. And he said, bring 7 bags of water, pour it into the bathtub. And he would sit in the water trying to get his energy, use the cold water to invigorate him. And he sat in the tub and he said, pour the water on me. And they began to pour the water on him. And when he felt the water, he got energized a little bit, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He got more strength. فَوَجِدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ خِفَّةً. He got a little strength. So they bring him out of the house. And he's leading on Fadl. He's leading on Fadl. Fadl is holding him up. He has the bandana around his head. And he's wearing kind of like a blanket to keep him warm. Fever, you feel cold, you feel hot, you feel... And then they brought him into the masjid. And they sat him on the minbar. And everyone knows, the whole community knows that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam they realize like he's getting really sick, but no one wants to think that the inevitable would happen. No one can fathom him leaving. It's not really processing. And so they bring him into the masjid and they sit him on the minbar. And everyone's happy because we haven't seen him in as much as normal. And so we're seeing him sallallahu alaihi wasallam again, and that was what would bring them joy. They would literally just leave their house just to see him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they sit him on the minbar, and he praises Allah, and he reads the regular khutbah. He makes dua for the people of Uhud, and then he says these words. He says, "Inna abdan khayyarahu Allahu bayna an yu'tiya zahrat ad-dunya ma sha'a wa bayna ma 'indahu." He says, you know, there was this man that was given the choice between everything of this dunya and having what God has. And the man has chosen what Allah has. And everyone is just sitting in the masjid listening. The Prophet always gave examples. He always gave us parables to think about. And so we're thinking, everyone in the masjid is thinking, man, wow, yeah, this guy chose akhirah. And in the back of the masjid, all of a sudden, everyone looks back and they hear this person crying in the back of the masjid. They hear someone sobbing like a baby. And everyone looks back and none other than Abu Bakr is in the back of the masjid. He's weeping in the back of the masjid. فَبَكَى أَبُو بَكْرٍ فَقَالَ And everyone's looking at him and they're saying, what's up? مَا يُبَكِيكَ هَذَا الشَّيْخ Why is the sheikh crying? What's going on? They said, Yani, Allah gave a servant a choice and the servant chose akhirah. Why is the sheikh crying? The Prophet ﷺ is on the minbar and he can hear his friend. He can hear his friend in the back crying. The one who was with him in the toughest moments. The one who believed in him when nobody believed in him. He hears him crying in the back of this packed masjid. And he looks at him and he says, Ya Aba Bakr, la tabaki. Yo, bro, don't cry, man. La tabaki. Inna amanna nasa alayya. The one who has blessed me the most through their companionship is you. You gave me wealth, Abu Bakr. You gave me companionship. He said, Abu Bakr, the masjid is full. It's just him and Abu Bakr right now. He says, oh, Abu Bakr, if I had a friend in this dunya, it'd be you, man. If I had a friend in this dunya, it would be you. It would be you. Lo kuntu. مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيًّا خَلِيلًا مِنْ أُمَّتِي It'd be you, Abu Bakr. وَلَكِنْ صَاحِبُكُمْ خَلِيلَ اللَّهِ He goes, but me, صَاحِبُكُمْ Your friend is the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My focus is there. He says, I want all the doors to the masjid to close. Just leave Abu Bakr's door open. Leave his door open. Finally, the Prophet ﷺ, on the same Thursday, he leads Maghrib. And they carry him back home. And from that moment, the sickness just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And the Prophet ﷺ is able to make it to Maghrib. He leads Salatul Maghrib on Thursday. He leads the Salatul Maghrib and they drag him back into the house. And from this moment, it intensifies. فَغَشِيَ اللَّيْلَ He passed out. وَقَامَ بِلَال Bilal got up to call the adhan because we have to pray Isha. Bilal got up to call the adhan. And the Prophet heard the adhan. And his instinct, he heard the adhan. It's time to get up. So the Prophet ﷺ hears the adhan. He goes to get up and he faints. He passes out. And he passes out for a few minutes. And he wakes up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, the moment he wakes up, the first thing he says, did they pray salah yet? Did they pray salah yet? The Aisha's in the house. She goes, la ya Rasulullah. Hum yantadhirunak. Ya Rasulullah, they're waiting for you outside the masjid. They're just waiting to pray with you. They didn't pray yet. They're waiting for you, ya Rasulullah. He says, okay, pour some water into the tub again for me. So they pour the water into the tub and the Prophet ﷺ gets up to get into the tub and he faints again. Passes out for a few minutes. He's trying to get to the prayer. He wakes up, first thing he says, Asallin nas? Did they pray yet? Aisha just looks at him and she says, La, hum yantadhirunak ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah, they're waiting for you. He tries to get up again and the same thing happens. The Prophet ﷺ, hadith say he had the strength of 10 men. The hadith said he had the strength of 10 men. Do you know how intense this sickness must have been? Do you know how heavy this must have been on him? And the moment he wakes up, the first question is, did they pray yet? Did they pray yet? Do you know when Umar ibn Khattab was stabbed, he was stabbed in Fajr prayer. And after the prayer, he passed out. And when he woke up, the first thing he said, he's like, did they finish the prayer? Did they finish the prayer? He said the same exact thing. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and she says, no, they're holding on. They're waiting. They're holding hope that you'll be better. Finally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he realizes it's getting late. They need to go to sleep. They need to have a long day. The Prophet was soft for the believers. I'm not going to make them wait for me. He says, Mur Abu Bakr, tell Abu Bakr. He tells Aisha, tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. Her father. But Aisha, she holds back. And she doesn't move. And she says, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I think you should tell Umar to lead. And the Prophet, he's in a very hard state, so he's not going to debate right now. He goes, Mur Abu Bakr falyusalli. Tell Abu Bakr to go and lead the prayer, please. And then she breaks down. She says, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr is a man that has a gentle heart. He won't be able to stand where you stand and lead the prayer, except that he will be crying the entire time. Ya Rasulullah, he can't lead the prayer. His heart is too gentle and he won't be able to lead the prayer. إِذَا قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يَمْلِكْ دَمَعُهُ. When he reads Quran, he can't hold back his tears. The Prophet ﷺ, he just looks at her. He says, I told you, tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. So that night, Abu Bakr leads Isha. The next morning, Abu Bakr leads Fajr. Abu Bakr is going to lead 17 prayers exactly before the passing of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the morning of Friday, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls his beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. The relationship between Rasulullah and Fatima was special. That was his daughter. They say that she was the one that imitated him the most. When she would come into the house, he would get up and welcome her, kiss her, sit him in his seat. She walked like him, she talked like him. Everyone said she was a daddy's girl. What is that, how you say it? The other way, you know what I'm trying to say. She was just like him, and he loved her so much. He loved her so much, they were so close. So he calls Fatima that morning, and she knows what he's going through. Fatima comes in, Aisha is there, a few other people are in the house, and he's laying down, he can't sit up. And he calls her close. So she comes right next to him. So her ear is right over his mouth. And he says something to her. And the moment he says it, she starts to cry. She starts to cry. And she sits back and she's weeping, she's crying. And then he calls her close again. And so she leans in again and he whispers. And then she starts laughing. She starts smiling. They asked her, what did he say? She said, I can't tell you. After he passed away, 5 days later, they asked her, tell us what he said. She said, the first time I leaned in, he told me I'm about to pass away. So I just started weeping. And then what did he say the second time? He told me I would be the first one to meet him after he died. So I started laughing. I'll be the first one to be back with you, Ya Rasulullah. So that's why I started laughing. He tells her that I'm leaving, but you'll be the first one with me. Imagine the emotions. Imagine the closeness. Telling your daughter, your closest flesh and blood, who you've cared for so long, imagine having to tell her those words. Imagine her feeling that my father, Rasulullah, is about to pass away. It's a Saturday is a hard day for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so is Sunday. 2 days prior, so Saturday-ish, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt some strength. It was Dhuhr time. He felt a little strength. And so they're praying Salat al-Dhuhr. Abu Bakr is leading the believers in Salat al-Dhuhr. And as you know, the Prophet's door was right there. Like he would walk out his door, And the imam spot is right there when he would walk out. And so the Prophet ﷺ comes out, Abbas is holding him, and Ali is holding him, and the Prophet ﷺ's feet are kind of dragging. And Abu Bakr is leading the prayer. And as the Prophet, they see him, the Sahaba, we haven't seen him in 2 days. This was the man we saw every salat. This was the man that was everything to us. And so they see him again, and Abu Bakr begins to back up. He begins to back up. And the Prophet, subhanAllah, they say the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith, he says, I have been given ru'ub, like my presence can be felt a mile away, a month away. And so they say Abu Bakr didn't see him, but he felt him come in. He felt him come in, and Abu Bakr begins to back up. Like, I can't lead the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet gestures to him, stay forward, but he keeps backing up. Abbas and Ali, they place the Prophet on the floor right next to, he can't stand. They place him on the floor right next to Abu Bakr. And the Prophet ﷺ leads the prayer, but the people can't see him, only the first saf, obviously. So the Prophet leads, the people are following Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr is following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet finishes the prayer and he says, Abu Bakr, I told you to lead. Why didn't you continue to lead? And he said the most beautiful phrase. He says, it doesn't befit the son of Abu Quhafa. That was his dad's name. It doesn't befit the son of Abu Quhafa to stand in front of you when you're here, Ya Rasulullah. This was the adab. This was the love. This was the level of respect that they had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا كَانَ يَنْبَغِي لِإِبْنَ أَبِي قَحَافَ أَنْ يُسَلِّي بَيْنَ يَدِ الرَّسُولِ. It doesn't befit the son of Abu Quhafa to lead when you're here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is brought back. He's brought back to the house. He gets back into the house and he looks at Aisha and he says, Ya Aisha, مَا فَعَلَتِ الذَّهَبِ. What happened to the gold that we had? The Prophet ﷺ is realizing that I'm leaving the world. I can't have dunya with me when I meet Allah. I need to have it all gone. So he says, Ya Aisha, there was gold that I gave you. Where's the gold? Faja'at, she brought it. It was a little bit of gold. It wasn't much. The Prophet put it in his hands and he's thinking. He began to move it in his hands. And he said, Ma dhannu Muhammad billah. What is the Prophet's understanding of Allah? If he goes back to Allah and he's still holding this in his hand, meaning I should have this such a level of tawakkul that I don't have this on me. It's not with me anymore. He says, Ya Aisha, please give this out right away. Get rid of this. We can't have this in the house. It's Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning. It's Sunday night, actually. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sunday night, meaning the night before, like Islamically, the nights before the thing. So, but just Sunday night, the next day is Monday. The Prophet ﷺ had a very tough night. But when Fajr time came in, he felt better. He felt really good. And it's Fajr time and the Sahaba are praying. All of the Sahaba are in the masjid. They haven't seen the Prophet normally as they would, and they were so used to seeing him. And Abu Bakr is leading Salatul Fajr. When all of a sudden, while he's leading, the Prophet had a window that was like up to here so he could stand and look out the window into the masjid. And so he moves the curtain. فَكَشَفَ سِتْرَ حُجْرَتِ. His head is covered with this bandana still. By now, they actually said he actually like tied it on a different way because of the pain. And he looks out at the masjid, and he sees all of the Sahaba in rows. And you have to understand where we've come from. We've come from hiding in valleys praying. We've come from struggle just to say, La ilaha illallah. He gave everything he could to build this community. And here he is one day prior to him passing away, one night before, a few hours away. He looks out of that window and he sees them praying. And Abu Bakr is leading them. And fatabassama, he just smiles. He just smiles at them. Lima ra'a, because he saw them together praying salah. Like a father that, you got it. You got the message. Keep going. And now, Abu Bakr feels him looking. And the narration, they actually say that all of us felt his presence because the people in the back stuffs, they could see his face. They could see his face. So they said, we were in fitna. We almost broke our prayer because his face was shining bright. ثُمَّ تَبَسَّمَ يَضْحَكَ. And he smiles, looks at us, like, yes, yes, you guys got it now. Y'all don't need me anymore. It's time to go. Abu Bakr did what he did before. He starts to back up. Maybe he's coming out. In the moment the Prophet ﷺ saw him back up, the Prophet ﷺ closed the curtain, and they wouldn't see him again after that. Alive, that is. The Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr finishes the prayer. Abu Bakr finishes the prayer. And he comes over, and he comes to the house, and Ali's coming out of the house right after Fajr. And the first thing Abu Bakr says is, how's he doing? How's he doing? Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. He said, Ya Aba Hassan, kayfa asbaha Rasulullah? How's he doing? Ali goes, asbaha bihamdillah bari. And he's good this morning. He's good. You saw him looking out the window. He's doing so well this morning. So everyone in the masjid, they're passing the word. Oh, the Prophet's doing good, y'all. You saw him look out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ali said he's doing good. Ali came out the door. He said, yeah, he's doing great. So the whole masjid disperses. Everyone disperses. They go back. Abu Bakr goes into the house. He walks into the house. And he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While Abu Bakr goes into the house, Abbas is standing still outside the door. And he heard what Ali just said to Abu Bakr. So Abbas grabs. Abbas is the Prophet's uncle. He's been around a long time. He knows the family. He pulls Ali to the side and he says, Ya Ali, the Prophet's going to pass away in a day or two. I know our family. One day before they pass away, they always seem to get better and they pass away. He said, he's going to pass away. Don't be thrown off by this. He's going to pass away. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he goes into the house. He comes and he sits down and he says, Ya Nabi Allah, I see that you're doing good this morning, alhamdulillah. Wa fadlin kama nuhib. You're doing good like we love for you to do. He says, you know, Yom, today I have to visit my wife. She lives on the outskirts of Medina. You're doing really good today. Can I go visit her? Rasul ﷺ, he goes, yeah, yeah, go, go. Go, I'll see you when you get back. Don't worry about it. So he goes. He leaves. Immediately after that, the Prophet ﷺ's sickness turns and he begins to get really bad again. Immediately after. And he lays down in the lap of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He's just laying in her lap. He's laying in her lap. And he began to, you could see the pain that he is in, and Fatima's in the house too. And Fatima sees what he's going to, and she's crying. She's saying, wa karaba, wa karaba. Like, oh, my dad, my dad, my dad. She's right next to him. And the Prophet just looks at her and he says, "Ya Fatima, there'll be no pain on your father after today, don't worry. There'll be no pain on your father after today." Aisha, she says that he's in my lap and he's just dealing with what he's going through, and the pain and the fever was intense. And he says, Ya Aisha, I can feel the effect of the poison that I ate. I can feel the effect of that poison cutting off my veins. I can feel it's time. He's laying in the lap of Aisha. And his head is actually right here, right here. And she's just holding him. And Abdurrahman, her brother, walks in the house. And he has a miswak, you know, the tooth stick. He has a miswak in his mouth. And she says that, I'm holding him. I'm holding him. And I can see his eyes looking at the miswak. And she says, Do you want the miswak? And he could barely move, but he indicates, yeah, please. So she grabs the miswak from her brother, and she takes it and she softens it. And she softens it and she hands it to him. فَقُلْتُ أَخُذُ لَكَ. Should I get it from you? Yes, he nods. So she grabs it, she softens it. She's like, I chewed it, I want it, my saliva to be on there. And then she said, I handed it to him and he began to clean his mouth. She says, I never saw him clean his mouth that thoroughly as the day that he, that moment right then. The Prophet ﷺ puts the miswak down and it's getting worse and worse, and he's laying in her lap and he's holding. And he just keeps saying to the people in the room, as-salah, as-salah, don't forget your prayer, don't forget your prayer. Be good to the people that work to you, for you, be good to the servants, be good to them, as-salah, as-salah. And the Prophet had a bowl of water next to him as he's laying on her chest. And he would reach his hand into the water and he would wipe his head with the cold water. And he would say, La ilaha illallah, inna lil maut la sakarat. He would say, death is hard, la ilaha illallah. And he was wiping. Aisha says, his head was right there. And I thought he wanted something. And so I kind of looked down at him as he's resting on me. And I saw a small bit of saliva fall from him and come down. And she says, I heard him say the words, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِرَفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. I heard him say, join me with the highest company. Join me with the highest company. Join me with the highest company. She said, I knew right there that he chose to leave. I knew right there that the angel had asked him, are you ready to go? And he said, yes, join me with the highest company. And she says, I felt a small bit of saliva come and land right on my chest. And she says, I got goosebumps. It was cool. It was so cool. And she says, wallahi, the moment his soul left, I never smelt a fragrance so beautiful in my entire life. And his soul was taken out at that moment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, I backed up and I laid his head down onto the pillow. And I realized that he died. And Fatima's right there. And all of a sudden, we just start crying out loud. We just start weeping. Just shrieking. The cry when someone dies, that's a whole nother cry. Oh, it's a whole nother sound people make. It's not a normal sound. And so she says, we just started crying. And Mughira bin Shu'ba and Umar, they come into the room. Umar and Mughira, they ask permission. They come into the room. Aisha says, come in. They're crying. Umar looks at the Prophet on the ground. And he says, wa ghashya. Man, he's really passed out, isn't he? He's really passed out. He really fainted, didn't he? Ma'ashad ghashya, Rasulullah. Man, the Prophet has fainted really bad. The Prophet's fainted really bad. Mughira's right there. Mughira looks at Umar. He says, Umar, he's dead. Mata Rasulullah. The Prophet is dead. Umar looks at him and says, Kadabta. No, he didn't. He's not dead. You're a munafiq, bro. You're a munafiq. You don't believe anymore. You're a hypocrite. In the Rasul, he can't die yet. The munafiqeen are still here. There's still much more. He can't die yet. By now, the word has spread through the masjid. And everyone is flocking to the masjid. Everyone doesn't know what's happening. This was the man that everyone loved the most, and they all felt that he loved them the most. And so the masjid was just... So Umar comes out, and now word is spread, and people are saying, the Prophet's passed. And Umar takes out his sword, and he's like, no, be quiet. And everyone's in their own world. But Umar's like, be quiet. Everyone be quiet. He's not dead. And he's holding his sword. He's a big man. He's angry. His face is red. He's in denial. He's scared. Because the man that was with him from day one, the man that brought him out of darkness, the man that made him who he was leaving the world. And he can't fathom that this man is passing away because he meant everything to him. So he's fearful, he's scared. He doesn't know how to respond, so he says, no, he's not dead. Everyone be quiet, I don't want to hear it. And he stands up,
and he starts giving a khutbah. He says, these munafiqeen, they say he's dead. But he's not dead. You know how Musa went off for 40 days? The prophet went off. He'll be back. And guess what? Whoever said he's dead, he's going to take care of all of you. He's going to take care of all of you. By now, word spreads to Abu Bakr, who just left. Abu Bakr just left. The last thing he saw was he was okay. The last thing he saw, he was okay. So Abu Bakr comes back from the outskirts of Medina on his horse. And he comes straight into the masjid. He sees Umar in the corner standing up. He sees everyone all over the place. He goes straight into the house. He doesn't even look. He goes straight into the house. فَلَمْ يَلْتَفِتْ إِلَىٰ شَيْءٍ He didn't look at anything. And he comes to Aisha, who's sitting right there. And the Prophet is laying on the floor. And he's wrapped up. His face is covered. His body is wrapped. And he leans down over him. And he moves the blanket from his face. And he says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ And he leaned down and he starts to kiss him and cry and kiss him and cry. He starts to kiss him and cry. And he says, Ya Nabi Allah. He says, Ya Rasulullah. You're so sweet alive and dead. You're so sweet alive and dead. He says, Ya Rasulullah, don't worry. You don't get two deaths. You only die once, Ya Rasulullah. You only die once. No more. He walks out to the masjid. And everyone is going crazy. Umar is still standing up. Some people are just sitting. Uthman can't speak. He can't speak. He can't speak. He can't say a word. Ali was raised by him since he was 8 years old. He can't remember a day except that the Prophet was with him. He married Fatima. Ali is quiet. He can't do anything. The Prophet, Abu Bakr comes out. Abu Bakr comes out. And he looks over. He says, Umar, ijlis. Umar, sit out. Umar's not listening. I'm not sitting. I'm not sitting. These people are saying false rumors. He realized he can't make Umar quiet. So he just stands up. Abu Bakr stands up. And everyone hears him. So they start to turn to Abu Bakr. What's he going to say? And he praises Allah. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalam ala rasulillah. He says, Amma ba'd. He says, listen up, everyone. Whoever here worshipped Muhammad, know that Muhammad is dead. Know that Muhammad is dead. And whoever worshipped Allah, know that Allah never dies. And then he recited the most beautiful verse. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ Muhammad is not but a Rasul. He is only a messenger. Many messengers have come before. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ What if he passes away? Are you going to turn around on your heels? Are you going to flee? Are you going to turn away from your deen? Everyone heard the verse and they started weeping because they realized that it's true. He's passed away. The one that we turn to for everything, the one that we would just look at for barakah, we knew everything would be okay because he was there. Umar says, Wallahi, it's as if I never heard that verse of Quran before. He says, the moment Abu Bakr said the verse, my knees gave out. My knees gave out. I couldn't stand and I just collapsed to the ground and I started weeping like a baby. I knew at that moment that he had passed away. And everyone now, because no one knows how to process, so the whole masjid just starts reciting that verse. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٍ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٍ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٍ They just keep saying it to themselves to deal with the pain. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٍ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٍ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٍ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولٌ
It was time to, they washed the body, the family washed the body. And the community, they come in one by one to pray Salat al-Janazah on the Prophet. The body stayed there for 2 days. They didn't know what to do. We haven't had a moment where he wasn't with us. We don't know what to do. And so the body sat there for a few days after they washed it. And we didn't pray one big janazah. The people just came in groups of two and three and they prayed their own janazah. Everyone did their own. And then it came time to bury the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they start to, the person who dug the grave, he shows up. And the moment he starts digging, all of Medina just breaks down. All of Medina breaks down because one thing is the knowledge that he passed away, the next is actually putting him in the ground. That's a whole nother level of reality. That's a whole nother level of processing. And so the narration actually says, Dhajj. What is the Dhajj? In Arabic, the Dhajj, when someone passes away, the cry that someone makes is a whole nother level of cry. But in this moment, when they started to bury the Prophet ﷺ, the entire Medina, because everyone felt that this was the most beloved person to them. And so they all, you know, when it happens in a family, there's just 5 or 6 people, 8 or 10 people. But this was the entire city that felt like the closest person to them had passed away. Faqadimtu, one of the Sahabi, he says, I came to Medina and I just heard this crying and this weeping and this mourning that was on the next level. It's the whole city. Mughira bin Shu'ba, he was at the burial and they placed the Prophet ﷺ down. And they start to put dirt. And Mughira goes, no, hold on. His feet aren't straight. Hold on. Let me go down. And he goes down into the grave. And he moves the sheet from the feet. And he just touches the feet. He just touches them because he wants to touch them one last time. He just touches the Prophet ﷺ's feet. And he covers them back up. And he says, throw the dirt down now. Throw the dirt down. And they're like, what are you talking about? He said, just start filling the grave. And the dirt got up to his shin. And he's like, okay, pull me out. And he said, I just wanted to touch him one last time. They're throwing the dirt and Fatima is there. Fatima can't process this. She looks at everyone and she says in kind of this anxiety slash anger slash confusion, she says, "Tabat anfusukum an tahdu ala Rasulillah turath." Are you guys okay throwing dirt on the Rasul? Are you okay? What's wrong with y'all? Why are you throwing dirt on him? Why are you throwing dirt on my father? This doesn't make sense. She can't process what's happening. Atabat anfusukum? You guys are okay? Everyone's fine with this? She can't process it. She can't process it. It's too much for her to handle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried roughly on Thursday, they say. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried and we had to learn how to move forward. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to us, he said in a hadith, he said, whenever you're going through a calamity, just remember the day I passed away. Whenever you're going through hardship, just remember this day that I passed away and the pain that you felt in this moment. Remember that moment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my life is good for you, but my death will be good for you too. My life is good for you, but my death will be good for you too. The most beautiful moment, y'all, is when he opens that curtain and he looks at the Sahaba praying. Because this man has put in work for the last 23 years to bring this change to people's lives. And he sees them praying on their own, and that's what brings him joy. He smiles. He could be crying in that moment because he's leaving, but he's smiling at them. That I'm happy you guys got the message now. I can leave. I can go. It's over now. And so he smiled at them in that moment. This reminds me, the Sahaba got to see him. And they wanted nothing more than to see him again and be with him. There was one Sahabi who was on the outskirts of Medina, and the word came to him that the Prophet passed away. His name was Thawban. The word came to him that the Prophet passed away. And he said, Ya Allah, if it's true your Prophet has passed away, I don't want sight anymore. I want the last thing that I have seen is him. Moments later, he went blind. He did not want to see anymore because I saw everything beautiful already. I saw everything beautiful. I don't need to see nothing no more. We didn't see him, y'all. But what did he say about us? He says, I wish I could see my brothers, my sisters. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are your brothers and sisters. He said, No. My brothers and sisters are those people that are going to come later who haven't seen me and wish that they could see me for anything. They would give up everything to see me. They would give up everything to see me. In this moment, the last words he said is, As-salah, as-salah. Hold on to your prayer. It doesn't matter whatever reasons you haven't been praying or whatever your relationship with prayer is. Just in order to see him smile at you, hold on to your prayer. Hold on to your salah. That's what brought him joy in that moment when they held on to the prayer. This was a beautiful study of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. And a beautiful moment of what it was like when the Prophet ﷺ was leaving the world. The Prophet ﷺ did everything he could to give us this message. So many of us have searched for this light for so long. He is the source of that light. And we have to love him deeply in our heart. And we love him by studying and reading his life and attaching our hearts to his struggle, the struggle to make us believers. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a deep love. You know, y'all, the relationship, hold up. The relationship, it didn't stop, yo. It didn't stop. People's relationship with, they went to Umm Ayman. You know Umm Ayman, right? She's Barakah. She raised him ever since she was 14 and he was a baby. Umm Ayman, the black woman, right? Umm Ayman, they came to her after he passed away. And she was crying. And they said, Ya Umm Ayman, my yubakiki, why are you crying, Umm Ayman? She says, oh, I'm not crying because he passed away. I'm crying because we used to get revelation fresh and now it's over. We used to get the Quran fresh. It used to come regular. Abdullah bin Abbas was leading prayer one day. He was leading prayer. And his mother was in the back. And his mother started crying, started weeping. And he came over after the prayer, said, Mama, what's wrong? She said, your qira'ah reminded me of the day, the last prayer he led us. He led us in mursalat, wal mursalati urfa. That's the surah he led us in. And when you read it, reminded me of that. There was another sahabi. Every single Thursday, he would break down. He'd say, Yawm al-Khamis, Thursday is here, Thursday. They said, why do you stress Thursday so much? He said, that's the day we lost Rasulullah. That's the day we lost Rasulullah. Thursdays, every Thursday. I was talking to a brother this morning who lost his brother. And he said, my brother died on a Monday. He said, man, every Monday that passed for the next 2 months, you just keep thinking about that Monday. Monday. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Bilal, we know how close Bilal was to him. He gave honor to Bilal, right? He told Bilal, go on the Kaaba, give the adhan, represent what Islam is about. Bilal, when the Prophet passed away, he couldn't live in Medina anymore, y'all. He just couldn't stay because every place he went, he remembers, we used to sit here together. And he was losing it. And the Sahaba, they cared for him. They said, Ya Bilal, you have to leave. You can't stay here anymore. You have to leave. So him and his wifey, they went to Syria. They left. They went to Syria. A few months pass. Bilal sees a dream. He sees a dream of who else? Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet ﷺ in the dream, he goes, Ya Bilal, why haven't you visited me in so long? Why this harshness? What did I do? Morning comes, he's out. He comes back to Medina. Everyone is hyped. Bilal is here, Bilal is here, Bilal is here. Time for Dhuhr comes in. They say, Ya Bilal, adhan. Give the adhan. But when he used to give adhan, you don't understand. Whenever he would say, Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan, he would point at him. Because he was there. So it wasn't abstract. He would give the adhan, and when he would say that, ashhadu anna Muhammad, he would point. He would point. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So he said, I don't give adhan anymore, y'all. I can't. So they go to Hassan and Hussein, the grandsons of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They say, yo, y'all, go ask him. He'll do anything for y'all. Y'all is the Prophet's blood. They say, you know, uncle, Amu, please, it's time for Salah. Can you call the Adhan Dhuhr time? Please, just for us. They said, just for us. He said, okay. It's Medina months later. Months later. And he starts to give the Adhan, but the nostalgia hits the whole city. When they hear that unique Bilal Adhan, everyone comes out of their houses. And they're looking at each other like in shock. Did the Prophet come back? Is the Prophet back? What's going on? Why are we hearing this sound again? This was the sound we heard when he was here. And they said the whole Medina came out of their homes and they're crying in the streets. But by the time Bilal gets to Wa ashhadu anna Muhammad, he looks down and there's no Muhammad next to him. He breaks down crying. He can't finish the adhan. And the whole city is weeping. The Prophet ﷺ was loved. They loved him so much. And they all felt that he loved them the most. This was what we learned about his character. If you sat with him, if you dealt with him, you felt like you were the most special person on the planet. That's what made him so unique. And that's what we're losing and we don't have. People in our own homes feel distant from us, hated by us. The whole city loved him and felt that he loved them the most. Become that. Ask Allah to make you like that. Ask Allah to give you that Muhammadan quality. This was the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was just us trying to connect to his life, inshallah ta'ala. Hold on to the prayer as he taught us to, and gain and increase your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Increase your love for him. It doesn't matter what our actions are, y'all. What matters is how much you love him. Anas bin Malik, I'm gonna end with this. Anas bin Malik says, we started to bury the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, by the time we put dirt on him and he was covered, he says, you know, when he came to Medina, everything filled with light. But the day we buried him, أَظْلَمَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, Medina got dark. And look what he says. He says, حَتَّى أَنْكَرْنَا قُلُوبَنَا. He says, we couldn't even recognize our own hearts after we buried him. This is crazy. You know what this means? When he was around, the distance from him, they started to feel a change. Because of him being gone. My teachers used to say, when you get closer to him and his sunnah and love him more, you'll see the change in you. You'll bring that light into you. It doesn't matter what your actions are. It doesn't matter how much you're practicing. It doesn't matter any of that. You know why it doesn't matter? A man came to Medina and he said to the Prophet while he was living, he said, Ya Rasulullah, there's a person that loves a group of people, but their actions don't match those people. The Prophet looked at him and he said, Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Don't worry, a person will be with those that they love on the day of judgment. The people in Medina say that was the happiest day. There were two happy days in Medina, the day he came in and the day that the Prophet said that. Because none of us had actions to meet his, but we all deeply loved him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a deep love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a love for his sunnah, a love for those that love him, a love of the actions that he loves. Ya Allah, we ask you to accept from us our efforts, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to accept from our efforts to increase our love of the Rasul, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our actions are not good, Ya Allah, but we do love your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love his sunnah. We love the way he carried himself. We love what he taught us, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. We ask you, Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us of our shortcomings, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. We ask you to forgive us of our shortcomings, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun alil mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. After Salatul Isha, there are some snacks and stuff outside the masjid and the courtyard over there. For everyone, inshallah ta'ala, just a kind of a celebration for us going through the entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah accept it from us. So right after prayer, inshallah, outside in the open area, outside the building. Assalamu alaikum. Allah taqabbal. Allah taqabbal. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, awesome.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا